The big question in business, are consumers still hunkering down in this fragile economy?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The nation's retailers saw just a little momentum at the cash register in December, including much of the all-important holiday shopping period. The Commerce Department reports retail sales were up 0.6% for the month. Jill Schlesinger is editor-at-large for CBS Money Watch. She's with us live from New York with some analysis this morning. Hi, Jill.
Good morning.
So, all right, let's talk about these retail numbers. What's your take, first of all?
I think a little bit light, below expectations. And my thinking on this is that consumers are still feeling quite a bit of pressure. They still have lots of debt. They're worried about the weak jobs market. And I think there's an increasing concern that housing could continue to be a problem this year.
Now, people, Jill, are going to start getting some tax refunds, right? Are they going to spend that money at the store? Is they going to pay down this debt? What are they going to do with it?
I think they're going to keep paying down debt and beefing up savings until they feel that the job market has turned. I think that is truly the key in this particular piece of data.
Now, we also got word this morning on consumer prices up 0.5% in December. But if you take out food and energy, that number is lower. Food and energy are big things to all of us, Jill. How does this affect the overall economy?
You know, I always laugh when they say we strip out the food and energy. Yeah. You know, most people must be thinking, oh, you mean the things that I actually care about and affect me every single day. So listen, when you have to pay more for your food and to fill up your car at the gas station, you're going to have less money to spend. And I think that also ties into the retail sales, that as people feel price pressure, they really take that money and pay for only the things that matter the most to them. They're not going to go out there and spend money on stuff that's a little bit over the top, concentrating on what's important. Keep an eye on this inflation number. I think this is going to be really a big key in consumer spending.
Jill Schlesinger in New York. Jill, thanks.
Great to be with you.
People in Tunisia have been protesting about high food prices and high unemployment, taking to the streets even. There's a general strike there today following a month of deadly violence. Prices for basic food items, incidentally, are rising in a lot of places around the world. And Marketplace's Adrian Hill from our sustainability desk is with me in the studio right now. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning, Steve.
So what's going on? Why are these food prices so high?
You know, it's a lot of things. Some of the major grain producers were hard hit by weather. You remember the drought and fires in Russia?
Oh, yeah.
And now the floods in Australia.
Oh, yeah.
The USDA just cut its outlook for global grain supplies, signaling tighter food supply. And we're doing a lot more than just eating food. You know, we're turning it into fuel these days. There's more demand.
And how do the food prices, Adrian, compare to the spikes a couple of years ago, back in 2008, when we saw riots in a lot of the world?
Well, according to the UN, at the end of 2010, the price of food was actually higher than its peak in 2008. Some countries are feeling the increase more than others. Here in the U.S., food prices are only up a tiny bit. But in India, for example, food prices have risen nearly 20%. I talked to an analyst named Maximo Torero from the International Food Policy Research Institute, and he says globally, things are mostly under control.
Right now, there is no reason to have panic. Right now, there is reason to be alert and to understand that this is a tight situation.
All right, tight, but not out of control. So what's the outlook then?
Torero thinks in the short run, with some government interventions, the price increases will be mostly manageable. But like all things market-related, it's impossible to know for sure. And of course, analysts disagree. Mm. There's worry that price speculators are going to get involved. They're going to see this bubble and jump on in. There's also concern in the longer run that climate change is going to have a huge impact on food supply. Extreme weather like floods and droughts, not good for feeding all of us.
And one last question for you, Adrian, is as the prices keep climbing, who wins? I mean, someone's doing well, right?
There are always winners, it
oh, yeah.
seems like. Cargill, for one, the U.S. company that produces food and agriculture products and trades commodities, announced huge quarterly earnings this week. They actually tripled their profits. Farmers could benefit, too, if these prices keep going up and they actually get the weather they need to grow their crops.
Marketplace's Adrian Hill with us from the Sustainability Desk. Adrian, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are mostly lower at the moment, 0.5% or so. J.P. Morgan Chase reported today its earnings were up by almost 50% last year over the year before. Profits at chipmaker Intel surged 48% in the fourth quarter. Wall Street yesterday, markets lost a little ground. The Dow shed 23 points to close at 11,731.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. By CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 1 million tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Novo Nordisk, since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at novonordisk-us.com.
As we get deeper into tax season, we're hearing about ways Uncle Sam can save some money in issuing refunds. Americans making less than $36,000 a year can get money owed to them on a prepaid card, a debit card. From Washington, here's Marketplace's David Gura.
The pilot program was designed for taxpayers who don't have checking accounts. It'll also help the government. Ron Shevlin is a banking technology analyst with the ITE Group.
This is clearly about their own benefit.
It costs a dollar to mail a check, but just 10 cents to send out a prepaid card.
When we can convert everybody on the tax refund side from checks to electronics, we can save about $40 million a year.
That's Fiscal Assistant Secretary Richard Gregg. The Treasury Department hopes low-income taxpayers will keep using the cards for bills and purchases.
It's also an effort to try to provide a banking service to individuals who may not have a bank account.
If that works, that'll be good news for the Treasury Department's partners, the Green Dot Corporation and Bonneville Bank. They'll get to pocket fees for withdrawing money from out-of-network ATMs. Richard Gregg says the government's been upfront about that.
We made sure that there won't be any surprises for the individual receiving the card.
In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
And finally, a new poll shows a third of Americans lie to their spouses and partners about money. Harris Interactive did this online survey. It showed more than 30% of couples were not truthful about issues concerning their combined finances. Both genders, according to the poll, lie in equal numbers. The most common untruth among couples, not telling the significant other about cash. The most common result, a heated argument about so-called financial infidelity. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Losing weight is high on a lot of people's New Year's resolutions, so gyms are offering all kinds of new classes to get people in the door.
It's basically yoga meets aerial aerobics meets Pink at the Grammys because she was hanging up from the rafters.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the latest in fitness fads and the latest news from Wall Street. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.